Hello, friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. I just wanted to tell you that I'm so glad you're taking time to listen to this sermon. It is my hope it'll lift your spirits and then motivate you to move out of your comfort zone. Stay tuned now for a message from Harvest Christian Ministries. It's already in progress. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must do it in spirit and in truth, because the Father seeketh such. As we come today, God, we tap into your Holy Spirit that you might lead us in this moment, that the words that we share may not be ours, but they might be yours. May we decrease so that you might increase. Save someone today. Encourage another. And when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory it deserves. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. There's a word from the Lord that really picks up from our scripture theme for the year, which is Jeremiah 29:11. But I felt the need to go a bit further. That's what the Spirit will do. You may think you one and done, and he'll say, no, there's some more meat there in those texts. Jeremiah 29, and I'll pick up at 12. It says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and the places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, God Has a Plan for You, Part Number 3. As we come during this time of year, we are mindful of the birthday of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In fact, the national holiday is on Monday. His actual birthday is the 15th. As I thought about Dr. King and my time of sermon preparation this week, I was led to a quote by his late wife, Coretta Scott King. And some years ago, myself and Deacon Strobel had the pleasure of being in her presence and hearing her speak. And what an honor that was there in Richmond, Virginia. But I came across really a personal story that she shares. She invites us into her Birmingham, Alabama home. And she recalls the night in particular that Dr. King came home, stressed out from the work of the movement, stressed out about the safety of his family. And she says that in the middle of the night, he gets up, heads into the kitchen, and puts on a pot of coffee. And at that time, he begins to pray unto God. He prayed aloud so that she heard him. And a portion of his prayer was, Lord, I'm taking a stand for what I believe is right. The people are looking to me for leadership. If I stand before them without strength and courage, they will falter. Ms. King says that after he prayed that prayer, that something happened within his experience. It was a divine moment. He rose from that place more determined to carry out the work of the movement. And this morning we will discover, as it relates to prayer, that prayer plays a role in fulfilling the plan of God. It would have been easy to stop at verse number 11. Yeah, you got a plan for me. But there are terms and conditions to the plan. over the past few weeks, we've learned that God's plan is to prosper us and not to harm us and to give us hope and give us a future. And man, that's exciting. But there's more in the fine print of that text. There are more terms and conditions to be considered. You know, and when it comes to terms, it really lays out what any particular word might mean in a contract. We think about it that way, that what am I obligated for? How much do I have to pay you every month? What is my note? And what if I'm late? I just woke somebody up today. I'm getting it to you. Do I have to pay the fee? It's all a part of the terms and conditions. But in this context, verse 12 says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Then means at this point in time. Then means at this moment. Then means in the here and now. Then you will, the one who I told you I had a plan for, that there's more that we must do besides having a plan. Amen. Amen. You will call on me. You won't call on your friend. You won't call on your degrees. You won't call on your great looks. But he says, you got to call on me. Yeah. After all, I'm the author of the plan. And you will pray to me, and I will listen to you. How plain is that? That, yeah, I got a plan, but beyond that, there are some things that God is requiring us to do. And to call his name is really to approach him. To call his name is to come boldly before him. To call his name is to give reverence to his name. Now listen, I've never been one that played with the Lord. In fact, I try to distance myself. Anybody they playing with God, I don't want to be anywhere around. I remember the days of playing sandlot football, and it was on the church property. And if I was going to tell one, I left the church grounds because I felt like it was so holy that if I'm going to tell a story, I'm going to leave and go on Martin Street and not be on the property. It is to have a personal relationship with God so that you can call on his name. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are around, but there is power in just calling on his name. Have you called on his name? Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your guidance. Lord, I need your strength. He says, then you will call on me and pray to me. It is personal. Joel 2:32 says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. These are the terms of carrying out and receiving the plan of God. But there's more, because there are conditions. He says, and I will listen to you. How does that make you feel today that I'm not just praying and my prayers are hitting the ceiling? I'm not just praying throwaway prayers, but every time I pray, I really do believe in faith that God is going to answer me. Amen. Does it give you any joy to know that he says, I will listen to you? Amen. And so as Jeremiah wrote the letter, as they heard the letter, it came down to, you know that I do hear you. Why pray if you didn't think it would make a difference? Old saying, if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. And so when it comes to conditions, he talks about, I will listen. Now, some of you may be too young to remember the day when you had to make a collect call. I remember driving with my friend to college, and I had to call Mama to let her know that I was back at the dorm. And I would say, it would ring, and she would answer. And the operator would say, you have a collect call from Timothy Tootin. Will you accept the charges? Oh, my God, you know where I'm going with this. And Mama would say, yes. That gave me permission to speak to her, but she heard on the other end the voice of her son. And that meant that she paid the charges. It came on her bill, and then we got big time. Is I want to make a person-to-person call. Amen? Now you've got gift cards and phone cards and all that. But I mean, we didn't have it back then. But knowing that somebody on the other line heard me. And when you call on the name of the Lord, he says, I will listen to you. I will accept the charges. I'll hear you out. I'll hear your complaint. I'll hear your plea. I don't know how that makes you feel today, but you know what? Whenever I pray, I'm glad to know that God really does hear my prayer. Or you didn't feel that thing yet. I'm talking about that prayer you said this morning. He said, Lord, just give me. And has he done it? He's already answered your prayer. The fact that you say, God, give me traveling mercies just to church. He's done it. Amen. Psalm 66 and 19 says, but God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Those are the conditions. Call on me, I'll hear you. Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. 1 John 5 and 14, this is the confidence we know that in approaching him, that if we ask anything according to his will, if it lines up with what he's able to do and will do, he hears us. Amen. Has he ever heard your prayer? Yes. What proof do you have that was God and not luck? That was God and not happen chance. That was God and not somebody you knew in your network. But God listens to our prayer. Then verse 13 says, you will seek me, still terms and conditions, and find me when you seek me with your heart, all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will gather you and bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile, but I'm stuck on 13. You will seek me. It's like God is playing a game of hide and seek. That if you come after me, I might let you catch me. If you really are sincere, say, I want the Lord. Okay, you really want me? I'll let you know. I might let you get close. I was reminded of a book I read some years ago, so much so I got to read it again. It's a book by Tommy Tenney called God Chasers. He says that when it comes to chasing God, that a person whose passion for God's presence presses him to chase the impossible in hopes that the uncatchable might catch him. So I dare you to try to go and do surveillance on God. I dare you to say, you know what? I'm coming after you. I'm going to get you. How many remember the road runner? That guy is after you. The road runner, if he catches you, you're through. He never could catch him. Every Saturday morning, that cartoon ran you crazy. Why? He couldn't catch the road runner. And you can't catch God. He's already caught you. Seek me, and I might let you get close. Seek me and I might let you think you got me. Seek me and I might let you come into my presence. Jesus declares in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Well, the promise in this text wraps up verse 14. I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you. I will bring you back to the place where I carried you into exile. The place is Jerusalem. Where is your Jerusalem? The place where God is going to return you. The place where God is going to bring you back. And not physical, but where are you emotionally that God has brought you from a place and now he's taking you back. But now you are a different you. Remember the stuff you couldn't handle many, many moons ago? But since God has brought you through an exile moment, he says, I'm going to bring you back to the place where you almost lost it. I'm going to bring you back spiritually to the place where something may have held you back. He fulfills the promise. And listen, I will bring you back. It's all in my terms and conditions. All to say, you cannot have a real plan without real prayer. Long before I realized, I had enough sense to realize that God had a plan for me, I knew this, that somebody was praying for me. The song says, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They took the time to pray for me. I know my mother prayed for me. Amen. I know my father prayed for me. I know my wife prays for me. I know my children pray for me. I know my friends pray for me. And that's well. But you know, there's someone else who's also praying for you. The Bible says that Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. He prayed for his enemies on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed for the thieves. We would have said, just book them, Lord. He said, you know what? Today you'll be with me in paradise. He prayed for us. Well, so what are we praying? What's the nature of our prayer? What ought our prayer to be? I believe it is that God might change the hearts of men. Amen? It's my prayer that with all else that's taking place, that if there's not a changed heart, there won't be a changed person. If it doesn't happen on the inside, if God doesn't do a work on the inner you, if God doesn't fix the inner you, if God doesn't break the inner you, nothing of substance will happen. I pray that God might change our hearts, that we might become a caring people. And that we might become a forgiving people. And that we might become a joyful people. And that we might become a peaceful people. And that we might become a loving people. It is my prayer today. Thank God for a plan, but I thank God for a prayer. Yeah. How many folk have come today saying, God, I thank you for a prayer. Yeah. That there is an avenue in which I can come to you in secret. And that you'll take care of it in secret. Yeah. And won't he make a way in your life? Yeah. If you've prayed and prayed earnestly, as the old saints would say, that God shows up and he hears your prayer. Well, what you're looking at today is answered prayer. Yes, my name is Tim, but my name is answered prayer. Yes, my last name is Tootin, but my real surname is answered prayer. What is your name today? Do you know that God is real, and that God will bring you through, and that God will work a plan in your life? But if you remember nothing else, you got to pray. Oh, everybody ought to pray sometime. Everybody ought to lift up a word before the Lord every now and then. Every now and then, you ought to pray unto him. As I closed today, I came across something that just made good sense. Most of us who have vehicles, we have in those vehicles a spare tire. They put them in crazy places now. Hard to find them or disconnect them. But you can ride knowing that I got a spare. And the only time that we are concerned about the spare is when there's a flat. Or that our tire is low. And somebody put it this way. It's easy to forget to pray when everything is going well. We know that the Lord is there, but we don't need him. And so therefore, we live life on a spare. But thank God for Jesus that whenever you need him, he's there. Has there been a time in your life when God has not shown up? Has there been a time in your life when he's not been there to support you and lift you up? Don't treat prayer like a spare. But take time today to pray unto him. God has a plan for you, but read on down. Well, wait a minute. I got to do what? And then do what? And then do what? That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. Come on, stand today all over this place. Thank you for your plan, God. But I thank you for prayer. It becomes what I need to activate the plan. Those are part of the instructions. Put this code in. It's not working because I've got the wrong code. My intelligence won't open it. But when I put in prayer, it makes a difference. As we come today, that's our prayer. He's prepared today to do a brand new thing in your life. And so we come today as a traveling salesman to offer Christ just to you. Let's sing a little bit of that today. We offer
Christ to you,
oh my
brother.
We offer
Christ to you,
oh my
sister.
That's it.
He will give you
brand new life. Yes, he will.
Life.
Come on.
Come on.
You know, I'm amazed, and I can't say that I'm guilty, but to see people line up for a ticket to a big concert or a game. When you come, I came last night because I wanted to be first in line. It's Black Friday. I need to get there first. It is my prayer today that the lost will line up for Jesus. Get in line. Get your ticket by giving your heart to Jesus. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. If there's one today, God, who think that you can have a plan without your presence, let them know that there's no other way except to come by way of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray even now, if there's a person in this place, it's not that we are keeping any score, but right now, in these 30 seconds, God, you already know. I pray even now, God, you said in your word that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That equals eternal life. God, right now in this moment for that heart, even if they whisper it, it's not for us to hear or know, but save that person today, God. Oh, save that lost soul today as only you can. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a praise today. Maybe you've come today, you've got to be a part of this fellowship. Maybe you've come to join Harvest today. The doors are always open. We'll love on you and receive you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. I want to tell you about a couple of other ways you can be inspired, of course, by CD, but you can also listen to our sermons on the website we have for you. It's www.cometoharvest.org. That's come2harvest.org. Or by way of sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com. All you have to do is to search for Harvest Christian Ministries. You can also listen to our daily devotionals. They're new, and they're really gaining popularity. They're called Seeds of Encouragement. You can get them by way of iTunes, from podcasting, or from Facebook. Either way, we want to inspire you on a daily basis. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Be blessed.